Welcome in, latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Brennan. Go by SEC Mike. Go to Twitters, and there he is, the Cookie Monster, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. How's it going, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, snowed in. Mm-hmm. Haven't left the house. Was telling you I may not leave till the weekend if it's a quarter inch of snow doesn't melt away.
We're always looking for a reason to just stay in, ain't we, Mike? I mean, I know I am. Oh, the snow, yeah, it really kind of snuck up on us. I didn't even know it was supposed to do this. And then woke up to a nice little winter wonderland here in East Tennessee, so that was nice. And snowed in, not so much, but we did cook a little bit. Me and Mike were talking offline, kind of fell off the, I've been off the wagon. I don't know why I keep saying fail. My ass has been off this wagon, dragged behind it, but I did good. I made a nice little chicken dish with rice, but unfortunately I paired it with some fresh homemade chocolate chip cookies, and they were delicious. So I may pass out about 30 minutes into this because sugar spike.
Oh, well, you may not be consistent, Shane, but you know who is?
JR,
come on. Just gifted another donation. I believe it looks like John got it this time. So shout out JR. What a legend. What a legend that man is, Shane. You know what?
JR is probably like my family practitioner, you know, taking all that money I'm sending him for blood pressure, and he's funneling it back to us. Thank you, Joe. This is the circle of life on That SEC Podcast.
Oh, buddy. Well, hey, we got not quite a but we've got like a little clip here. You want to set this up before we roll?
Oh, yeah. No, so this took a little longer than it should, but as you know, last week, me and my wife for Valentine's Day went to Tennessee Legend Distillery, and they had a nice little paint and sip. And honestly, I'm telling you what, scored some brownie points on that one, Mike. The wife was really excited about
doing she's something making you romantic.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? You want cookies? Do something nice for your wife. So, yeah, that's what this clip is. It's just a little recap to a wonderful night.
And just for the audience, I have not seen this. I cannot verify the content. So if you love it, I get all credit to Shade. If you hate it, credit to Shade.
Wrong video.
Oh, hey there. Welcome to Tennessee Legend Distillery. I think I'm going to go with the Bitten and Smith.
You got it.
Because does.
What's going on? Long time no see, friends. Do you recognize this place? Dollywood. We're not at Dollywood. We're in Sevier County, home of Dollywood, and pancakes, and putt-putt capital of the world. But before you get into all that, be sure to stop off and see my friends at Tennessee Legends Distillery. Look at this place. You know where it's at. As you're sitting there in traffic waiting in to get in Sevier County, that dirt pile back there is Target. If you've gone to Target, you've gone too far. Stop off here and let's jump into Tennessee Legend Distillery, where me and my wife had a night to remember.
Welcome to Tennessee Legend Distillery. We're going to drink and we're going to paint.
You heard him. We are going to paint, but first we're going to taste some of these wonderful spirits. You stop off here, they got sampling, they've got bottles, they've got just about everything, made perfect gifts. If you forgot something in Sevier County on your way out, be sure to stop here and grab you something so that your family and friends know you were thinking about them. Oh, I'd love to have a sip of that right now. This is what we're here for, though, the old paint and sip. That's right, doing something fancy for my wife. Look at that little drink we got there. They had everything set up for us. We paid one fee. These girls helped us paint like Picasso. They were so extremely helpful, and at least you kind of knew what you were getting into. If you ever do one of these, they're going to have another one for Mother's Day. I think we're going to look at that. Bob Haas. I think that's what I'll go by. But this was pretty cool. I was painting my side. She was painting our side. We put it together. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. Scored me some brownie points that night. But I tell you what, if you ever do make it to Tennessee Legends, you don't have to paint like I did here. You can certainly go in there, do some tastings, grab a bottle or two. Just be sure to let them know that Cousin Shane, Cousin Mike sent you up there. Can't miss this place. It's one of the first stops you need to make when you get into Sevierville. Tennessee Legend Distillery. Again, it's going to be on the right before the Target. But if you did want to paint, they're going to have another one on Mother's Day, and I hope to see you guys there. Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, that looked like a good time here. That was much better Valentine than my lady got.
I will tell you, it's kind of unique because once you start having a couple of little pink drinks, brother, I was starting to feel it, but I needed to stay dialed in, you know, because I'm competitive and I wanted my painting to be better than my wife's.
They're calling you Peyton Manning in the comment. Remember
that? Like that one. Is it Peyton Manning or Bob Haas? Did you like that one?
Yeah, that was a good one too. So yeah, I'm glad that looked like a hell of a time there.
Yeah, and they're going to do another one for Mother's Day. So hopefully some of the locals here can get up there and check that out. I'm telling you, she's still talking about it. You want to score some points. It's worth it. They got everything. You just pop in, show up, and just have fun.
Yeah, I can't wait to get down there and try it out. Because does equals boss hog is what they're saying down there. Did they run out of orange paint? That's what Cousin Tony wants to know.
Yeah, everybody thought I was going to be painting like a specific thing, and I really didn't know what to expect. But they, like I said, those girls were very, very helpful. They helped navigate through that. So it wasn't like they're just like, okay, just match this. They did a whole thing in front of us. So they'd be like, okay, we're going to do this. This will be like the ocean. So then you paint that. And then they're like, okay, this is going to be the rock. So they for us dummies that don't paint often or ever, they really did a step-by-step process that really helped out. But like I said, if you get up there, you don't have to paint. It's just one of the coolest little. The thing I like about the place, Mike, you know, and this wasn't meant to be a promotion. This was just friends being friends. When I stepped up there the last time, they just were so helpful and so pleasant. And if you've ever done moonshine tasting or wine tasting or anything like that, it's only as good as the experience that you have there. And that's one of the things that they've mastered at Tennessee Legend. And they're going to be doing a whole bunch of cool stuff up there. And I'm hoping when it gets a little bit warmer, you and I can get up there and maybe have a couple cold drinks on the patio.
Yeah. There's a shout out to Bassman. He called you Vol Casso.
Oh, we're getting creative now. I like it.
And then Jeez Louise says, "Big Cousin Vades Cracker Barrel next, please."
It's coming. It is absolutely coming. I told you, I kind of hinted at it, working on a top 10 list for Cracker Barrel. Not doing it this weekend. We got some, this nice little plug, Mike. If you've not got your notifications on, have those on, because we're pretty much bringing some sort of content to you about every day. You just don't know when it's going to hit. But we've got some pretty exciting stuff coming up. So be sure to have those notifications on. And damn, we're so close to 30,000. I appreciate everybody's taking the extra effort to subscribe.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, hey, let's get on back with the SEC action. And how about this, Shade? This came out just today, so we're keeping everybody updated on it.
Yeah.
But Commissioner Greg Sankey, they're having meetings right now in New Orleans with the Big Ten. It's basically the SEC and the Big Ten figuring out for everybody. But according to Commissioner Greg Sankey, they have not yet made a decision on the playoff. They've not yet made a decision on a 9-game conference schedule moving forward. But here's a direct quote, courtesy of Ross Dellinger. They have not made a decision, but it sounds like several people in the room at first against the 9 games are rethinking their position. So what does that mean, Shane?
They found out
how much they can make from this. All right. I'm in at 9. So, yeah, at this point in time, all indication, the SEC is going to be moving to 9-game conference schedule. It obviously won't do that immediately. We still have the 2025 season to go. But I think in 2026, moving forward, I think there's going to be a 9-game SEC schedule.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's, I don't think, it almost feels to me, Mike, and of course I'm not in the rooms, it feels to me like we have some convincing to do, and this is the way, it's almost like bullying. That these two big boys are in there, and they're saying this is the way it's got to be, and we've got to make it work. And that's why you're starting to hear things like guaranteed college football playoff spots, and we're going to keep hearing news like that. But ultimately, again, it comes down to viewership. This is it's a TV brand, man. I saw Pat put out an interesting thing talking about the Alabama-Auburn basketball game. I think 3 million. I want to misquote that. It's up there. It's in the millions, but it was one of the highest viewed college football or college basketball games this entire season, and it wouldn't even crack the top 100 football games that were viewed. So I just, that's where the money's at. That's what we want to see. And ultimately, it's about that mouse. Hey, he's writing them checks. He's going to want something in return.
Yeah, here it is. You're right. You nailed it, Shay. 2.8 million people watch Alabama Auburn basketball game over the weekend, number one, number two. But like Pat, courtesy of Pat here, would not be a top 100 college football games from the season. So again, you just can't compete really with college football. We all know that. Come on, we're trying to get into basketball, but we know what drives this show and these fans, you know.
Absolutely. And I don't think it's a bad decision. It's just right now I get the controversy if you're sitting in there and you're saying, wait a minute, there was a lot of three-loss teams that didn't get into the college football playoffs. That's the argument. It's the South Carolinas. It's the Alabamas. You know, it's the Minnesotas. It's the – well, not Minnesota. I guess that's a terrible example. What was that hot team that they talked about, Indiana?
Or did Indiana they get made in?
Yeah, did they make it? Yeah, okay.
They lost by like 30 points, right? And then people were trying to justify that as they're good.
See, I can't even remember if they got in or not. Can't even remember. That's how relevant they were. But I think that's the argument right now. And if you expand to nine, then you're shooting yourself in the foot. Not just us, but Big Ten, and that's not going to happen. So, I think ultimately it does come down to nine wins. And if it does that, Mike, I think that's perfect, not just for playoffs. That's what we're all talking about, is college football playoffs and stuff like that. But for me, Mike, it's the consistent of rivalry games, keeping some of these intact, and it's also the rotation of opposing teams so that you're not facing somebody 7-8 years later.
Yeah, and that's what I can't wrap my head around. But real quick, I want to shout out Free. He just became a member, Shane.
Hell
Free.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome to the family. But that's one thing I can't wrap my head around. I mean, there were some people that were angry in the comments about, well, we need this extra 9 game, and it ain't really a rivalry. I mean, that's just like nonsensical. You know what I mean? I get it. The prize is to win the national championship. The prize is to win the SEC championship. But you know, just look at it from like a Tennessee fan perspective, Shay. You didn't win the national championship, but you beat Alabama's ass.
Yep.
That's something you can brag about all year. You're a Florida fan. You didn't have quite the season you wanted. You caught fire there, but you beat LSU. You beat Florida State. And you're on cloud nine for the entire offseason because you beat two rivals to close it out. Yes. And on and on and on. There's so many great games. And this sport can't just be about making the playoff, but winning the playoff. Hell, there's only one team could do that.
Yes.
You know, there's so many other games that you're in Alabama. You know, again, they had a bad year, but they beat Auburn. You know, for 365 days in that state, you could talk trash to all your Auburn friends. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That's what this sport is built upon. And the fact that we are ensuring that some of these great games are going to continue and new games will emerge.
Yeah.
Like South Carolina, Tennessee, the last couple of years, you know, that's just one example. We'll make sure Missouri and South Carolina are probably going to be playing, which they should now, because those two are at each other's throats, brothers. So, I mean, we are making rivalries. We got to make sure these conference teams play each other, and nine is really the only way to go.
Well, I mean, you're thinking about, look at Texas and Georgia. We got to see it twice this year, and it heated up, and we're going to see it again in 2025. But if we don't have that rotation, it may be 8 years before we see the game again. And that's the part that frustrates me, because
it just fits perfect. If we don't expand the SEC, we keep it the way it is. You got your three permanent rivalries, and then the six you can rotate. That means if you ain't playing, Tennessee ain't playing A&M this year, guess what? They're playing them next year. And then you could say in 4 years, they're going to play them twice, one at home, one away. And I just feel like if 4 years, as a fan, you have an opportunity to see every single SEC venue. And I that's what it's about for me.
Right. And beefing up these schedules now that you're guaranteed
for sure
X amount of spots, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand because there's going to be more losses to come around.
Yeah.
Which is going to keep more teams in the picture late in the season, just like this. I mean, this last year, in a lot of ways, was fantastic. I think this is just going to make it better.
Mm-hmm. I'm pumped up. It's almost here, ain't it?
But hey, it was. I want to ask you about this. Just interesting because I didn't know this was going to be such a damn firestorm. I didn't even really have an opinion on it, and I still don't. But last night, Shane, huge win for Mississippi State. As they're trying to, you know, they're firmly in the NCAA tournament, but they're trying to jump up the rankings here. Number 21, Mississippi State just beat the brakes off. Number 7, A&M, 70-54.
Yeah.
But here's where, again, I'm not saying I even take issue with this. I just made a factual statement, and buddy, people got mad as hell at me. So this game was at Mississippi State, and I know it's 21 versus 7. But Mississippi State was favored to win the game.
Yes.
They whooped A&M's ass. Mm-hmm. The fans stormed the court. And I'm just sitting here saying, Mississippi State was favored to win this basketball game that we're storming the court for. And there's like a battle of, you know, has the court stormings gone too far? You know, we got the Alabama AD saying, well, by God, you should forfeit the games. I'm not going that far, but... I'm just wondering if we should be storming when we're the favorites to win a basketball game.
I don't think if you're favorites, you know, that kind of defeats the purpose, you know, in my opinion. Right. I get the emotional ride. It'd be one thing if this was like the reason you made the tournament or something along those lines. But, you know, they're in. I think both of these teams are in. So, I think they probably should have had some blow darts or something on the sideline and pegging anybody in there.
And then we got a hell of a game tonight, Shade. Number 4 Alabama at number 15 Missouri.
Yes.
And Missouri fans are pissed, Shane, because they're on SEC Network. And they want primetime. They want ESPN. They want ESPN too. I mean, I've seen it all. I'm sure you've seen it all live there.
Tell Alabama not to lose to Auburn, Mike. I mean, this isn't Mizzou's fault, I don't think. I think this is – no, I think this is going to be a great, great matchup. And these are, again, two passionate fan bases and just trying to be relevant. You know, I feel like we keep rotating how powerful, how great this conference is.
Yeah.
But there has been a little separation. There's been a handful of teams that we talk about a little more than the others. And these are two programs that are starting to move a little bit. And maybe not so much Bama, but definitely Mizzou. And until they upset you or till they beat you. And then all of a sudden you're talking about them again. So this one right here, you want to be relevant, Mike? You want to be on primetime? Well, then you got to keep winning the big games. And I feel like if Mizzou does that, then they'll have no problem moving forward to these top 25 matchups.
Right. All right, buddy. Well, hey, the main thing I wanted to hit you with.
Yeah.
I said we were snowed in. Mm-hmm. That was a good thing for me because I just been sitting on the computer. I think I'm going senile. I've been staring at spreadsheets and looking at all this data. So I've almost got all the returning production data done. I have it done for the offense. So
yeah.
I just figured we break down the offense. Maybe in the next episode, I'll be done with the defense. And then we'll have all the information. And I've already seen some questions in the comments, Shane. This is very simple. This does not include transfers.
Yes.
It does not include freshmen. It's only two words, Shane. I can't believe this is confusing people. Returning production. Who you got coming back? Are they back this year? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I've broken it down in many, many different ways.
So is this before the portal or after? Just kidding. Just messing with you. Just messing with you, Mike.
Damn it. I don't know who in the hell just started throwing transfers into returning production, but it has like messed everyone's brain up. So this, again, this does not count the portal.
Right.
I'm going to do portal rankings next. So that's coming too. But so here's we got the, we already did offensive line on another show, but here's passing yards returning. And this one is, you know, this should be kind of like the least surprise for everybody because it's basically, you know, do you got your starting quarterback back or not?
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt leads the way, 99%. Diego Pavia, of course, back. Garrett Nussmeier, LSU, back. So they're at 98. They're far and away the best in the SEC. Tennessee's 93 with Nico. We got Taylen Green, Arkansas. So we got 90. Lenora Sellers, 87. percent for South Carolina, Florida 73 next with DJ Lagway, and then we got Marcel Reed at A&M, but they lost Connor Wigman, so that's why it's down to 70%. And then I was pretty surprised Shane Oklahoma 65% back, even though Jackson Arnold's gone. So those are your teams with over 50% or more production on the passing. Meanwhile, everybody at Auburn's got 0%. Again, they've added transfers. I get it, but that's the low end. With Ole Miss 6, Alabama 7, Georgia 11, Mizzou 13, Kentucky 15, Texas 22, and Mississippi State 34. So this is just passing yards returning. I don't have a graphic, but I did the passing touchdowns as well. Anything stand out to here or any questions?
No, none. I think this is pretty self-explanatory. Trying to think who the 1% for Vanderbilt was, but no, it's it's. Oh, I guess if they've got a lead or something,
they had Nate Johnson. Well, he transferred out.
Probably got hurt. That's right. Yeah, he got hurt a couple of times. So, yeah. No, seriously, this does not surprise me at all.
Yeah. So now let's kick it over to rushing, Shane. So this is rushing. Production returning, and what do you know, buddy? Vanderbilt, number one again in the SEC, 92% of the rushing percentage returning for the Commodores. But how about Hail State, brother? Something to get excited about. And the difference there, 86% for State, 86 also for Texas A&M, but Mississippi State by a couple decimal points got it, so I gave them the edge there. Oklahoma, 78, Florida, 70. Texas 68, LSU 63, Georgia 56, and the South Carolina and Arkansas both at 50. So those are all the teams that are returning at least half of their rushing production from last year.
Got it. Absolutely.
But again, are you sensing a common theme here, Shane? Ole Miss, Mizzou, Auburn. I mean, they're the three lowest.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they're going to be bad, but that is just where those numbers are at right now. And then as for receiving, oh, buddy, is this the Commodores' year or what? It may very well be because Vanderbilt's returning 76% of the receiving production. Alabama's second in the SEC, 72%. South Carolina, 51%. And Georgia, 50%. How about that, though, Shane? Mm. Only four of the 16 in this league have more than half of their receiving yards coming back. That kind of stood out to me.
Yeah, that's a little surprising, honestly. Not just the Vanderbilt leading these categories, but you're looking at a lot of teams that, honestly, I never really thought about lack of production returning, you know? So,
right.
Is that, you think, I mean, obviously, we're not including transfers, but that's part of the reason I feel like we're dealing with, like, this list would have looked a million times different back in 15 or back in 05, if you will.
Right.
It's just the era that we're in, you know, you're going to see teams suffer somewhere, whether it be rushing or receiving here. So I will say this, Mike, on the receiving side, Vanderbilt, Alabama, South Carolina, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know we got a lot coming back, but it wasn't like we were hanging banners about how productive those four were last year, you know? Do you think there's a case to be made? Maybe, you know, just because they're coming back doesn't mean we're going to be top four. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think that's a fantastic question, and why you're maybe the best podcaster out there, you know what I mean? Like, for asking these types of questions. But I think the biggest takeaway for me, Shane.
Yeah.
Like, we got, this is just receiving yards, keep in mind. We got Arkansas at 11, which is dead last in the SEC. We got A&M 26. We got Missouri 29. So, obviously, we'll get to the portal. I'm not saying the portal's irrelevant. I'm just saying these are the guys returning, because I think this is a very valuable statistic. I think what you're saying, if you're on this bottom and your solution is, let's just add a bunch of transfers.
Yeah.
I think you're really rolling the dice. And it doesn't mean it can't work, but that's exactly what Florida State just did. And they went like 2-10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that is important to know. Basically, where are we rolling the dice? At what positions? And are we having to do it at several? Because if we're having to do it at several, then I start to get really concerned.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And when you're looking at this, I mentioned the first four. The second four, Ole Miss, LSU, Auburn, Florida.
Yeah.
Mainly Auburn and Florida. They're kind of the sexy pick that keeps coming up.
Right.
You know, but it's age and growth and development. And that's, you know, it's almost like everyone else is fast food, but these others are like crock pot meals that we've been waiting on for 3 days, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you're looking at Auburn and Florida, you know, that 42 and 37, I think it hits a little harder than, you know, the bottom four here with Texas and Mizzou and teams like that, because this is the 42-37. That's what we're kind of basing off 25's production is going to come from, the development mainly from this. I mean, you talk about an intriguing stat line right here. The 25 receiving yards is going to be crucial. It's going to make or break Auburn and Florida season, Mike.
Oh, yeah. No, I think you're right. Now, again, we've hit on this before, but I think this may be the most important of all these statistics.
Yeah.
Offensive line snaps returning. A&M, number one in the SEC, 88%, nearly everyone back. Auburn, 86%, number two. Florida's next, 83%. Oklahoma, maybe we get some stability on this offensive line, but that'll be critical. 71% back on the offensive line. These are snap counts. Alabama, 65%, and Arkansas, 57%. Those are the only teams in the SEC, Shane, that are returning 50% or more of their offensive line production. Meanwhile, again, common theme here, Ole Miss, dead last, 21%. Now, here's where Vanderbilt could be in trouble. Only 22% of their offensive line production's back. Tennessee, 26%. And I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. They're still waiting a waiver for one of their offensive linemen. And if he gets his waiver, then Tennessee jumps up to 41%. So,
yeah,
it's a pretty big deal if they get Andre Kurek back. But I'm not counting him because currently I believe he's ineligible. He needs a waiver. Texas, 31%. LSU, 35%. Georgia, 39%, Kentucky, 39%, South Carolina, 44%, Mizzou, 48%, and Hale State, 49%. So does this change anything about any of these teams?
A little bit. I mean, I think about the productivity that some of these, especially those top six, had last year and development with that, you know, offensive line group. Except for Oklahoma, you know. Yeah, I think about bringing my gym clothes to vacation. You know, it's like I brought them, but I didn't use them. I it was kind of nice not having to wash them when I got home, you know. So, I don't want to have a parade from returning production unless you saw some significant gains in that top six. I saw significant gains from all of them except for one.
Right. All right. So here's all the data put together, which I tried to make the graphic look a little bit different just so it stands out. But so this is your returning offensive production. These are all these numbers put together on the offensive side of the football. Vanderbilt leads the way far and away in the SEC, 80% offensive returning production back. Texas A&M second, 64%. Florida, 63% is third. Oklahoma, right there, 63%. Again, there's just a little decimal difference between Florida and Oklahoma. LSU, 61%. South Carolina, 54%. Alabama, 52%. And Mississippi State, 51%. Those are the only teams. Well, that's about half the league, but those are the only the only ones that have 50% or more. And then we go Georgia, 49%, Arkansas, 46%, Tennessee, 45%, Texas, 38%, Auburn, 36%, Kentucky, 32%, Mizzou, 25%, and Ole Miss, 18%. So I'm not sitting here saying this is the end-all, be-all stat, Shane.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you look at this. If you're an Ole Miss fan, if you're a Missouri fan, Kentucky fan, and maybe even Auburn, and say, you know, I am fully confident in the offense next season.
No, but there was some splash made in the portal. And again, not in this list.
Right.
And you know, I think if I told you the start of last year that Ole Miss would be at the bottom of returning offensive production, you would say, well, that's because it's Ole Miss. You know, I don't think you're as worried, but maybe you would have been a little bit with Mizzou. But again, another team very aggressive in the transfer portal, same with Auburn. So I'm not worried, but I get it. I can totally get behind it. I'm always one of those grass is greener kind of guys, though. You know, mm-hmm. It's like we're getting a new guy, and you're like, oh man, this is going to be the one. This is one that's going to save our program. And I feel like maybe I'm in that kind of phase right now with those three teams in particular. But I think the biggest surprise for me of this list, honestly, is the returning production of Oklahoma and Mississippi State.
Yeah.
For some reason, and maybe it was just because the big names stole the storylines, you know, it just,
right.
I didn't realize that much production was actually coming back, which, you know, you look at Oklahoma. Yeah. They're going to have a new coordinator. But you know, when you have that much continuity up front, that does help a little bit. So yeah, I think those are the two that kind of stood out to me is probably two of the lesser thans last year in 24.
Right. And that stood out to me as well. So Oklahoma, you're absolutely right. They lost a lot of guys, a lot of names to the portal,
mm-hmm.
but not exactly, you know, guys that are putting up crazy production, and particularly at the receiver position, because they got so banged up at receiver.
Right.
So if you lose four or five guys, and many of them had no statistical impact whatsoever, I wonder if it was almost smart of Oklahoma to say, well, we just paid all these guys. They didn't do jack. Yeah. How about we just roll with the young guys that are at least, we know their health is in a better spot. So that is something to think about. But what if, let me ask you this, a little preview of defense coming up.
Yeah.
Ole Miss right now, again, 18% offense returning production, dead last.
Yeah.
Are you concerned at all if Ole Miss is dead last in defense too? Because I can almost guarantee you they will be based on the numbers that I have, they're not finalized, but I'm very close to finalizing. If Ole Miss is dead last in returning production, offense and defense, does that concern you?
Well, yes, it does a little bit, but not a lot because it's Ole Miss. Ole Miss, it feels like when you're looking at these types of statistics, has mm-hmm. an asterisk by them all the time because Lane Kiffin's there. And with Lane Kiffin there, you know there's still going to be talent coming in, and he'll get the best. I still feel like Ole Miss is going to be a fringe bubble team. They may get in, they may not. They may be right. It wouldn't blow my mind if they have 10 wins or 9 wins, somewhere around that mark, even though they have the less returning production. Because, again, he's shown us that he can, as far as consistency, he's been one of the most consistent coaches in this league, and I expect nothing less in 2025.
Now, how about Vanderbilt leading the way, though? Does that do anything for your optimism that they that maybe they could continue this for – because that – you know, they were pretty strong on the offensive side of the football in terms of execution. And of course, Diego Pavia, you know, he gets all the credit, but it's more than him. It's the tight end Stowers. It's a running back set Alexander. Mm-hmm. Bringing back all these guys, does that kind of raise the potential of what Vanderbilt could do?
Yes, because I feel like their season, that like if we're going to look back at 25 and judge how good or bad their season was,
yeah,
it's going to be based, in my opinion, off the first four games. And, you know, you beat Virginia Tech, you can beat South Carolina. If you do that, not saying they're going to, but if they do that and they start out 5-0, then all of a sudden you're looking at a pivotal season in Vanderbilt's future. The groundwork is being laid right now by Pavia and company, and I kind of surprised that much production's return, especially with what I've seen with Coach Lee's teams in the past. This is a new trend that I'm sure he's enjoying up there. But yeah, you talk about a team that was scary last year. Nobody wanted to play them. Well, that team just got better, and they're coming back in 2025. And by God, if you got them on your schedule, you better be ready, because they are going to do – every game is like their Super Bowl, you know?
Are we gonna do it again, Shane? Are we going to do the annual A&M, 64% offensive returning production?
No.
I mean, this is the year, right?
No, not doing it, Mike. I am out on A&M. Oh, but if they start out 5-0, you know, I get the optimism. I think the most exciting part for me is you got a second year coordinator here. You've got you got Reed with all the snaps in the offseason working on that chemistry. You know, that running game, I think was probably one of the best stat line, in my opinion, that offensive line and returning running game, because that was their bread and butter. And if they can get some sort of production out of that receiving room, whew, buddy, I don't know, man. I'm not doing it. I'm just saying the stars could line up down there in College Station.
Ooh.
Not doing it. It's not going to happen. That's what I'm going to say. It's not happening.
Yeah.
But what if?
Does this raise the profile at all of, you know, we kind of hit on Oklahoma, but man, if they could get that side of the ball right with Brent Venables calling the defense, could this be the breakout team in the conference this year?
Oh, man, that's a tall glass of water, Mike. And I want to be positive. I want to be as positive as possible, but it's going to take something special up there, and it's going to take something special that we didn't get to see last year. You know, one of the things we didn't get to see last year was Mateer. Yeah. One of the things we didn't really get to see was Dion. You know, if we get some sort of just freaking, you never know. It could be a match made in heaven, and all of a sudden, Oklahoma is back on the board. So I'm not saying that it can't happen, but I am still worried about this football team moving into 2025.
Are you worried about you put them high on the fear list? Lord, all the way up there at three, buddy. DJ Lagway, he didn't even start the whole year last year. He just was getting started. Shane, if he could bring back that magic, and I think he's going to be even better.
Yes.
Could this be a team that is going into a special season, perhaps?
Mike, this is one of my crockpot teams, man. And you know what? It's been smelling good. You got a home. You know about crockpot meals, Mike? You just start that thing. You come home and you walk in, you're like, damn, we're going to be eating good tonight. Well, if you don't eat in 2025, you know what I'm saying? We're throwing you out with the bathwater, because I feel like this is a football team, when you talk about returning production, means more than probably any of the other ones. Maybe Auburn. I keep going back with Auburn and Florida, because those are the teams that we anticipate taking a step forward, but it is all based on the youth of this program doing just that, taking the step forward. And, you know, if Florida's going to win some damn football games, brother, they cannot afford to come out not swinging like they did 2024. I mean, that Miami game is still haunts me today, and I'm not even a fan, you know. But I put all the chips on the table, and I said, they're going to win this Miami game, blah, blah, blah. And honestly, That's why Florida got a black eye, because that was some folks' last time watching that football team. So they can't afford that. They got to come out 25 swinging, and it's going to be because of DJ. It's going to be because of the youth of this football team finally becoming grown men, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm sure this has been asked before, but you just made me kind of realize it. Would you rather face Cam Ward at Miami? Mm-hmm. Or Carson Beck, who they're paying all this money now. I think Cam Ward. I think that's scarier than just based on what we saw from Carson. But like, I think Florida's in a better spot coming up facing Carson Beck than they were facing Cam Ward.
This would have been a better question in 24.
Yeah.
Because now he's going to be coming off this surgery. And, you know, I talked to Rusty. I don't know if you've got a chance to listen to that podcast. Nice little plug there. You can find it right here. I don't know if Mike can do that. But but I will say this. One of the things he talks about is just how invasive that surgery is. And so if you're asking me, give me Carson Beck right now. I'd rather have him, especially earlier in the season when you're going to have this football game. Oh man, how good would that be? You know, I'm sure he'll be back, but what day is that game? Is it week one? It's not week one this year, is it?
No. It's September 20th there.
Yeah. Oh, so see, you got a little time too, you know. Damn, you got LSU. it ain't easy, but when you get to September 20th, man, I feel like that's gonna be an awesome matchup.
Yeah, no, I can't wait for that. But I had to set you up for that one because I was just thinking of it. You know what?
That's good. You're always thinking ahead. I like it, Mike.
Anything else stand out to you about any of these returning productions?
You know, not really. Like I said, I talked to you a little bit about the state in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't believe we've not even mentioned Kentucky once, but sometimes you don't. So sometimes you need a fresh start, you know, and as bad as that offense was, I feel like you're okay. I don't think Kentucky fans are looking at this. I mean, obviously you'd love to have Key and Brown and all those guys back, but you know, I think there's also a part you're like, hey, let's just try something different. Let's try something new here. So I'm not saying that you love this stat line, but I think you can be a little optimistic about it, especially if you didn't find 24 productive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, this took a ton of time to put together, and it's not the end all be all, but I just thought it would be pretty impressive stuff to bring to the Cousins here. And then we got defense coming up soon. So we put all that together. And then as soon as that's done, then I could get to work on the portal and just give us something else. You know, I think this is valuable stuff because.
Well, this is the stuff you could point back to, you know.
Right. We'll be using it all off season long, essentially.
Yes. I mean, you don't have to memorize it now because we're going to throw it in your face about five more times before the season starts. But returning production is important, Mike, and it's something that we don't see as much of. It's sad, but this is what they talk about in the NFL, the lack of development with some of these kids, the continuity. And you know, I feel like the next real dynasty that comes from the SEC is going to come from a program that somehow figures out how to harness and maintain a system. You know, almost go old school here where you can say, hey, you're going to sit your ass down here for 2 years. You're not going to play. I know it sounds bad, but you're going to learn from this guy and you're going to get your opportunity when that happens. It's not there. I don't see it happening anytime soon, but returning production, whenever an SEC powerhouse figures this out, they'll be unstoppable, brother.
And that is one thing that I have heard a lot about. You know, they're gonna be able to start paying the players.
Yeah,
we still don't know the figure. It'll probably be around $15 million, but I don't think it's gonna be like $15 million spending sprees every offseason.
Yes,
I think what it's going to be is going to be keeping the players you really want to keep.
Yeah,
and then maybe the players that you don't want to keep, maybe you don't give them a good offer, you know. Then they say, "Well, I could go to Southern Miss, or I could go to the Big 10 or the Big 12 or whatever, because they're offering me whatever. And that's what I think it's really going to be. I think it's going to be more about retention and keeping the players. And because quite frankly, there's not a lot of returning production across the board for a lot of teams right now in the SEC.
There really isn't. And it's just the way it is. And I'm not going to say it's going to be that way forever, but you know, ultimately I mean, you could, there's a couple of cases where you can point out maybe the kid didn't get the opportunity in the NFL because he wasn't ready. And you always wonder, like, if they would have stuck around with Nick Saban a couple more years, or if they would have stuck with Kirby Smart a few more years, what would have happened? Because sometimes these kids just, it's like a light bulb and it just comes on and they figure it out. And if they don't ever hit it and they're just chasing the bag, then, you know, you're ultimately losing money on the back end. Not all of them. I'm not saying all these kids are going to the NFL, but I have seen some rare cases of kids. It's like, man, if he would have just stuck around a little bit longer, what would have happened if he developed, you know?
Right. Well, and that's a great point to, I forgot to do this earlier, Shane. I'm getting more and more rumors and speculation that we got to do everything we can to keep you from going to like ESPN or SEC Network or Barstool. So how we do that, head on over to Shop Bando, Shane, shopbando.com, promo code SEC to get you $5 off a starter pack, which is 40% off of your entire product over at shopmando.com. And what's in this starter pack, you may ask, Shane? Solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choosing with free shipping over at shopmando.com. But don't forget that promo code SEC for $5 off the entire product. Keep Cousin Shane on this channel. Come on, we need the big over here.
What would you, so you would be like 99 returning production this year. I'd probably be like, what, 71, I would say. Steve, probably 20. Steven, 26, 27. No, I'm terrible with math. I'm probably jacking these numbers up. We got Marler, been in here a couple of times, so he'd probably be like 2%. T-Bob. T-Bob be on here about 1%. You know?
Yep.
Is there anybody else I'm missing? Yeah, I think I'd give you 99 because I did give you a couple days off, you know?
that's true. Yeah, it was 100 until about a week ago, and now you've taken over the channel. So I see where you're going with there. Yeah,
I was just letting it marinate, Mike, you know.
Well, hey man, anything else before we hop offline?
No, man, let's get off here, watch some basketball, and it's good hanging out with everybody. Look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow, 7 o'clock normal time, and I think I may go with a dark blue tomorrow.
All right, brother. Well, hey, I appreciate you. I appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.